Are you struggling to create engaging content for your B2B brand? Let Podcast Town help. Our expert services will help you develop a successful content marketing strategy, making your brand stand out and increase revenue. With our guidance, you'll create quality content that resonates with your audience and builds brand loyalty. Visit our website at podcasttown.net to learn more and to get started today. We help you launch, grow, and maximize. What's up, enterprisers? Welcome to another episode of the Enterprise Now podcast, where we shape the mindset of the high achiever to think like an entrepreneur. We talk with masters of the craft to get the cheat codes to success, helping elite enterprisers level up and maximize their brand. I'm your host, LZ, the mayor. Now let's get to it. What is going on, enterprisers? We have yet another awesome episode, another awesome entrepreneur business owner for you. But Susan, before we get into any of the good stuff, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Nice. So first things first, I am curious to know, Susan, what is happening going on in your world right now that is exciting?
Well, what's exciting is we've taken a program that I've done for over 10 years with very, very senior executives across large organizations and some very well-backed in private equity organizations that we're scaling, and turned it into a program that anyone can run, a team building program, essentially. And it's a little bit more of a train the trainer model where we train you to do a half day or two-hour sessions with your team to really understand each other's leadership style and how you operate as a team and create some action plans for how you want to be better as a team. So now it's infinitely scalable. And that's what I'm so excited about, because I don't have to be in the room facilitating this. I can help you facilitate this with your team and do it yourself.
You see, this is the reason why I love doing this show. So you just gave like a 2-minute blurb about what you're excited about. And there's literally at least a full day workshop that we could give on scalability, on partnership collaboration. We talked about team building. I heard in your answer, I could tell when you started talking about leadership, your eyes lit up. So I think that's the thing. We could really like go to town with this, but let's start here. Why leadership? Why did you get into leadership, and why is that so important to you?
I think because I had such impactful experiences with, let's say, not so good leaders. And I was really trying to find my way on what I wanted to do. I have a pretty eclectic background. I went to Harvard Law, did not end up practicing law, went into consulting. First of all, I worked for 4 different law firms during my summers, and I could just tell this was going to be miserable. I did not want to do that, but I had a lot of loan debt. So I ended up going into consulting, doing strategy consulting at BCG. And I liked some of that, but I definitely had my first manager was, wow. Your first experience, getting into
wow.
Place. And from there went to work for NBC Television and doing marketing and business development. And what I learned there is you could have the greatest strategy in the world, but if the culture doesn't support it, you're dead in the water. And I was brought in to institute Six Sigma, which is a GE program, let's say, and a methodology into an entertainment company, which kind of wanted nothing to do with that. But GE at the time was the parent company. So that experience and some of the leadership lessons I learned of how people manage came to the fore. And it got so, let's just say, I got so I don't even know what I want to do with my life. And I have all this background in education, but nothing is moving me. So I took a break and I did something I really love doing, which is acting. And I went and got a master's in acting from the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. And little did I know how impactful that would be, because as I was learning about the craft of acting, you know, there's a lot of things you learn that could be really helpful to a lot of these leaders, like how to deal with that inner critic, that voice inside your head, and how to connect more authentically and be present. And each of these pieces, I kept thinking, there's got to be a way I could bring this back to business. And since consulting was in my blood, I thought, I want to bring it back and really look at how we could make cultures really not light depleting like it was to me, but fueling and amplifying for people to bring their best. That's truly, to me, what a leader does. A leader will create the conditions for others to thrive so that you get a multiplier effect. If it's just about you and it's just only you, then you're a solo entrepreneur. And I think a lot of leaders in organizations kind of lead almost like they're a solo entrepreneur. They just want people to just sort of like they're widgets and they should just like do this stuff, right? And not really creating those conditions for people to thrive so they can bring the best and they actually, then you get exponential growth.
Got it. So I'm curious to know. So we get a law degree and, but we don't practice law. Because we realized that it's not kind of not what we want to do. Where did that self-awareness come from? Because it seems like you are pretty aware of who you are, what you are, and what you are not. Where did that come from?
You know, it looked like there was a lot of research and writing, and I'm pretty extroverted. There was not enough initial contact with clients, which was what consulting offered me. But more importantly, I just felt that I did not want to suffer in a job I didn't like. And I had the experience or the history of my father, who was a dentist and did not like being a dentist, really hated it. He had always wanted to be a pilot, but his mother wanted a doctor in the family and he was bright. And so she pushed him that direction. And I think he always sort of resented that. And it made me sad because he was unhappy. And I would say in the back of my mind, I never want to be that unhappy, right? The work takes up and it impacts your other relationships. So how your work has to be, again, an expression of amplifying what you can give to the world, not making you feel diminished. Otherwise, it's going to impact that person's children and their spouse and all the, when you have a bad work experience. So I guess I really understood the power of work that fuels you versus work that diminishes you from my father, being really cognizant of how is that feeling for me? And I'm not going to head down that path. And when I saw stuff that was like, that's not going to work. I mean, frankly, I would talk to the second year associate. They were unhappy. The fourth year associate was unhappy. The sixth year, the partner was happy, but just because they were making money. And it's not to say like some people really love in the law and that's wonderful. But I saw a lot of people feeling not so happy with their choice. And mm-hmm. I was not going to be that person.
Okay. So law degree, we have a degree in acting. Where did the music come from?
So the piece that when I went to acting, it's from the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. So it had some music component to it. And I've always been someone who has a very musical ear, although I do not play an instrument. I was a singer for a little bit. I would say like very small asterisk, like not anything grand. But I love music. And that's what had me actually write a book that combined music and leadership.
Got it. So are there recordings of you somewhere out there in the interwebs?
Only, I had very, very tiny, tiny bit parts on some of the soaps way back when, and like a few indie films and that kind of thing. Certainly not singing though. Not singing.
Got it. So talk about how now all those things are coming together, the law degree, the art, and the love for music. How are you taking all those experiences and doing work that fuels you?
Yes. Well, I think I'm going to bring something that you probably never heard, which is related to how music can actually help you be a better leader and a better human. So what do I mean by that? Well, I wrote this book called The Leader's Playlist. and it's How to Unleash the Power of Music and Neuroscience to Transform Your Leadership and Your Life. And essentially, it looks at the power that music has to help us form new neural pathways in the brain. It's basically how we learn more quickly and efficiently. So everything's faster when you kind of embed it with music. But it has an important component piece to it, which is the fact that I think what my superpower is pattern recognition. That's what, you know, I've been coaching incredible entrepreneurs and senior leaders for over 20 years now. And I've seen incredible patterns for what makes people successful and what makes people, you know, get stuck or not able to scale their business. And what I notice in those patterns is a lot of that has to do with what happened to them in their childhood. And what happened to you in your childhood, meaning whatever challenges you had or traumas more specifically, or just wounds, right? We're all been wounded in some way, influence and help us create a superpower. And so that superpower is what you want to leverage, but it also comes with a liability. And at some point in your leadership journey, you're going to reach a ceiling because of that liability. And if you don't work to address that, it's going to be hard for you to get to the next level. And so in this book, I both articulate why what happens in your childhood shows up in your leadership today, but also how music can actually interrupt this pattern and help you create a new path forward when you pair it with music.
Now, forgive me if I mispronounced this, but is it Meritage?
Meritage, you got it.
Meritage. What is that? How did it come about? Who do you help?
Yeah, so Meritage Leadership is our consulting firm, and I started it 17 years ago. And wow, the field of leadership development has certainly changed over that time. I think back when I started, people didn't even know what that was, right? And now there's a lot of people who get in the fray in this world. But essentially, we help individual leaders and teams achieve high performance and help them address and understand what is the strength that they need to leverage, and then what are some of the challenges that hold them back and how to blow through that. So we interrupt the way they're doing, they disrupt the way the patterns that they have that are not serving them, helping them leverage the others more succinctly. So we've got a cadre of about 20 coaches at this point, and it's everything from offsites and workshops to individual one-on-one coaching for senior leaders. And now we've got several digital products that, like the Leadership Edge, where we can scale what we do at a much more cost-effective way to teach you and give you all the relevant tools of things that we've been doing with leaders for many years.
Let's talk nuts and bolts for a second. So I'm curious to know, when you first started your business, what are some of the things that you did right? What are some of the things that you wish you could have done better? Why'd you settle in on that business model? So just take me through, from a business perspective, kind of how Meritage got started.
Yes, well, it got started. I was a consultant at a leadership development firm. So I learned a lot for the first 2-3 years. And then I went as an independent contractor so that it would free me up to bring on other clients, but still contract back. And so that gave me, I would say what I did right is I wasn't starting from ground zero. I think a lot of people today who want to get into coaching don't realize they love the skill of coaching, but it's a sales business and it is about business development if you want to be successful. Unless you're going to go underneath, and some coaches do, they don't want to have to go and sell, right? They just want to coach. So that's perfect work, you know, in terms of working with other practitioners who can. But it gave me the floor I needed to still bring in income, but start building my own clientele. And so I think that piece went well. I think the piece that I wish I would have done differently is think more strategically about hiring support staff sooner. I think I've always been very cautious. Ooh, I don't know if I can afford that person. And, you know, gosh, like what's, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you eat what you kill kind of thing, right? So it's like you live and die, and you could have a good month and you could have a bad month. But this person that you hire always has a nice steady income. And I think that's scary for entrepreneurs. It was scary for me. It continues to be scary for me. It continues to be the thing that, like, I'm like, can I afford this person? And do I believe that it's going to give me the scale that I need to grow the business? And I think I've erred a bit more cautiously than I should have. And that stunted some of the growth or made it harder. Mm-hmm. But it was the safe route. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how do you know when? Because I found that in my journey, I haven't been at it for 18 years yet, but sometimes it's about the timings. Like, when is the right time to bring on that resource versus doing as much as you can for as long as you can?
Yeah. You know, I think there's an exercise we give to help with this because it was such an issue for me. Like, I've developed content along the way that's made the difference, and you can get it on the Meritage website. It's called Freeing Up 8 Hours of Work, and it's really a delegation guide, but there's several very practical exercises in there. And this, in this delegation guide, it has you go through an exercise where you really create a list of everything that's on your plate. Like, how did you spend your time? It's a little bit, the first part is a little bit like counting calories. You know, when you keep a journal of, you know, everything you ate, you have to do that for a little bit. So just so you get the lay of the land. And then we take you through an exercise to look at what are things based on a potential future state you'd like to get to in 6 months that only you can do, things you want to guide and things that you shouldn't be doing. And when you start to look at that list and see the stuff that you're like, okay, like in 6 months, I shouldn't be doing this thing, like booking my own travel. Like, I should not be doing that in 6 months because when I'm doing that, I'm not doing business development outreach, right? I'm not. And it starts to help you make the case, like, is that list big enough that hiring someone else to do that makes sense? Because I think for me, I needed to see, oh, look at the runway it gives me on the stuff that only I can do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the things that I know, you said earlier that your first boss was wow. not in a good way. When you are first starting out as an entrepreneur, it's just you. So you only have to lead yourself. But now, once you start bringing on team members, and now there's 4, there's 5, there's 7, now you're a leader. Talk about how important leadership is and how important leadership development is.
Well, yes, because we think, so here's the analogy I like to use. We think as human beings, we can see 360 degrees like a chameleon. But the reality is we can't. We have a central vision and a peripheral vision, right? And where we point our focus of attention, that's what we see. But there's something behind our head we can't see, and that's our blind spot. And so I think what often happens is what we're motivated by, that's what we see. But we're not always realizing that we need to pay attention to, like, what's behind there. And so hiring someone that has the natural gift to look that way is going to only support you, number one. But number two, recognize that not everybody wants to be treated the way you would want to be treated because they have different motivators. So that's why we use a tool called the Enneagram to really help people understand what drives them and their motivation. But it also illuminates that blind spot. And it's a model that very clearly articulates who else is looking that direction of your blind spot. And so when you're working with a team and you can help them understand then why they complement each other versus where there might be conflict and how to work around that, it makes all the difference. And so I think as a leader, you have to recognize that you do have a blind spot. Like, we all have one. We have one physically and in our leadership style. Mm-hmm, being open to discovering what that is, and then being open to hiring those that can fill that gap, but also working on closing that blind spot, or widening your aperture to the best of your ability, or taking time out to look the other direction that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. What is it? Do you recommend or use any other profiles, or is Enneagram your go-to?
It is my go-to. We do a 360 analysis. We also have a team analysis, but fundamentally it is, I've worked with so many of them. It's the most powerful model for team growth because it shows the interrelationship between the types. You know, there's other ones out there, Myers-Briggs, DISC, Colors, and they're very good for you just understanding yourself. But it doesn't put you in the system the way, meaning you are part of a system, you're part of a team, right? It doesn't put you in the system and understand that now how do I, it lacks the so what. Like, okay, I'm an ISTP, so what? So what? So what does that mean? Like, how does I actually lead differently? What do I need to work on? And the Enneagram is a model for personal development, and it's a model for team development. And so that's why we use it in both those realms.
So what are some steps? Somebody's listening / watching to this, and they know that they need to get better as a leader. What are some next steps that we can do tomorrow to start to get better as a leader?
Yes. Well, get curious, number one. Okay. And so one way you can get curious and take action is, why don't you find out a little bit more about what your leadership superpower is and your potential liability? And I've got like a very simple quiz on susandrum.com, which is, we have a consulting side, and then we have my own branding side for speaking and my own podcast. And there's a simple 7-question quiz, and it'll come back to you with a suggested area of where your strength might live and what your blind spot may be. It's what is your path to enlightened leadership? So that'd be the first thing. And then there's lots of different places you can go from there.
Got it. So I'm very curious to chat with you about your podcast, because I'm a kind of a podcast guy myself.
Yeah.
Why did you launch a podcast, and what's the podcast doing for the business?
Yeah. So the name of the podcast is The Enlightened Executive. And the tagline is, your personal evolution sparks your leadership evolution. And it's fundamentally a belief that the only power you truly have is to grow your own leadership. You actually don't have power over other people, and certainly not the way you think you do, at least not long term. So if you want your circumstances to change, all the work has to come back to going within and looking at your own blind spots again, what's getting in your way, where you're limited in your perception. And so I started the podcast because I really wanted to talk about that concept, but also bring on people. I have two different types of guests. One guest are CEOs and entrepreneurs who have really gone through a transformation. They're more enlightened now, right? At one point they were leading this way, and now here's what they've discovered, and here's what helped them along their journey, right, of doing that, and how they lead today and how it's different. And then I have another set of guests that tend to be practitioners or people who have developed certain techniques or protocols or very practical type things of, how do we do this? How could we improve our leadership? And we'll talk about, yes, we talk about the Enneagram, but we'll talk about all sorts of different things, Heart Math Institute, meditation, really thinking about how to delve into your financial future from a very enlightened perspective. So it covers a pretty wide spectrum, but each of these, I think, are places where entrepreneurs would learn a lot through watching how other people have grown and also what other resources there are out there to help you on your growth.
So what are some of the results? Are you happy with what the return on investment, or help me understand some of the, what I call podcast rain, things that just come out of the blue and happen because of the show?
Right, right. I mean, I've definitely met some really fascinating people. You know, I have gotten some clients out of it that have come on the show and talked about their business and were interested in like the Leadership Edge program, that type of thing. And I would say, I just really enjoy interviewing people just like you. I can tell you enjoy it. And I'm asking the questions that I'm curious about and that I think that others may be curious about. I love learning, and I want to bring that to the forefront. So I think, you know, why I did it is my love of learning and sharing my love of learning. And I do believe you just keep putting stuff out there, it eventually returns back to you.
Yeah, yeah. The part of it, and you're right, I do love talking with people. Really twofold. I love hearing other people's perspectives, their journey, and I love learning, you know, similar to you. I learned so much from the guests that are on the show and how they were able to put all the pieces together, right? Every one of us, mm-hmm. we're all on this journey and there are all these different pieces. And it's really cool when people put the pieces together and now they have work that they enjoy and that fuels them. So it's always really, really cool to hear those stories. The other thing I really love about it is just the relationships, being able to be a part of somebody's journey and help them along the way. So why the personal brand in addition to the company brand?
Yes, yes. Well, the company brand is really focused primarily on senior leadership development consulting, right? And this is the bespoke programs, meaning very custom, high-end, you know, each senior executive team member gets their own coach, and then we work as a team to improve team performance. SusanGerm.com was meant to take a lot of that content and make it more accessible for a smaller company or even a solo entrepreneur and be the place that you could get some of those resources. Because I've had lots in the past come to Meritage and they're like, oh, we can't afford doing that, right? And so, but I really believe in this, which is why we developed, you know, these other programs that will allow people to have access to this to help with their ability to grow their own business. So it's really two different audiences, so to speak, but it's also a place where I get to connect more one-on-one with people through the book, through the podcast, through the courses and programs as well.
Has anybody ever told you that you're brilliant? I'm sure that they have, because here's what I mean, right? So what you're describing, right, is and I'm in the process of kind of doing this myself in my business, right? So I have this production company, Podcast Town, right, where I'm helping enterprise level brands, you know, build podcast brands. But not every solopreneur, entrepreneur can afford that. And so what I'm in the process of doing is figuring out how to position my personal / other brand to serve them. So I'm, even as we speak about why we do this, because we're learning, I'm literally learning, because that is exactly where I am today. It's like, okay, maybe there's training and courses and community and things like that, that we can build to serve that audience. So brilliant, brilliant, brilliant answer. I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to end our talk, our conversation, by just giving you the floor. What are some of the key things that you want to leave with our audience on how they can get better at business?
Yes, I would say pay attention to the internal dialogue. What do you tell yourself? And it sometimes seems really strange. Like, what is like self saying about self? Right? Because that's where the core of your ability to shift what you're producing comes from. Notice, what is the flavor? Like, if you could boil it down to one, what is the statement you say to yourself all the time, right? And for examples of what I mean by that, I do have those in the book, The Leader's Playlist. You'll see 9 different examples of how we looked at what was that internal dialogue, or what I call an old playlist that you've got running that might be limiting you. That's what I mean. It's really, again, it's about looking in. And when I've seen leaders literally transform the way they run and their level of happiness, I know I made the right choice career-wise after all those twists and turns.
That is awesome. If people want to reach out to you to say hi, to get the delegation guide, how can they do that?
So the delegation guide is on meritageleadership.com. And on susandrum.com, you can reach out through there's a contact form there as well. But there's also the quiz that I mentioned. Those are two great ways to get connected.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Susan.
Thank you.
If you got value from today's show, we want you to join the Enterprises Elite email list for more nuggets and resources.
And remember, no excuses, just execution. Go get it. What a fantastic episode. Hey, listen, I want to know something. What is the top concern that you have in your business? Is it sales? Is it marketing? Is it finance? Operations? Shoot me an email, mayor@podcasttown.net. I want to start a conversation around these areas of business and how we can work together and help each other shine even brighter.